You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Breakfast Table, where we are joined by none other than Comic Book Men's very own Ming Chen.
What's up, everybody? I was just wandering outside. You're like, hey, you want a podcast? You want a podcast? You know I never say no to that.
Well,
so
you can't say no. You're on so many.
I don't say no. It's a weakness. If Superman had a power, which he does, I would be the opposite. I can't say no. But podcast, I love podcasting. So thank you for inviting me. And I love breakfast too. So it all works out.
So I'm your host, Brad, and I am joined today by Alex, Darshan, and James. So we're going to jump right into it because today we are talking about Astronomicon, which was a convention that just started for the first year here in Metro Detroit. So this one was actually a kind of horror pop culture convention. So a little bit of a mix of groups with this one.
A little bit of wrestling there, too.
Yes. We had the wrestling fans as well.
Are you guys into wrestling?
I grew up, with a little bit of a wrestling background. I actually went to WrestleMania last year with my brother. My brother actually is the big fan.
You went last year?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm kind of into it. Like, but you went to WrestleMania last year?
Yeah, it's like
you're a fan. Come on, bro.
Okay. A little bit, yeah.
Because I thought you were going to be like, I loved Macho Man Savage, Randy Macho Man Savage, Hulk Hogan, Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov, Mean Gene Okerlund. That was my era.
My era was the WCW era, like NWO, Wolfpack, things like that.
That's when Hulk went bad, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's when I tuned out, man, because I was like, no, man, Hulk's like, you eat your vegetables, like say your prayers. He was a good guy to me. And when he went bad, and what is it, NWO or whatever?
Yeah, NWO, yeah, Wolfpack, the red NWO.
I couldn't do it, gentlemen. I couldn't
Kevin
do it,
Nash, isn't it, and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I think I hit like 12, and I'm like, I'm not watching this anymore. Like, you know, but then it came back. It came roaring back.
Yeah, and it's like, now it's an entertainment company like none other. It's right. A streaming company. It's like a stock option now.
It's Vince the closest McMahon. Thing you can get to like male-driven soaps.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know literally nothing about wrestling other than it has great story.
Right.
And it's acrobatic as all heck. And Alex loves making weird noises.
It's his favorite thing.
Is he wrestling?
Maybe.
It is my favorite wrestling thing. I'm actually wrestling with everything around me right now.
That's good.
You know. But I mean, I've actually, when I grew up, I liked wrestling back in the day. I haven't kind of been a fan of it recently. I was kind of big back when it was WWF, way back in the day when it was still like The Rock, Triple H. Back when they were the big guys and everything else like that. So, I mean, I haven't really kept up with it recently. But, I mean, I really enjoyed it back in the day. I mean, if I ever get a chance and I see it on TV, I may jump in and watch like a little bit of it. But I kind of haven't been as heavily invested in it as I used to be.
Yeah, because who were the ones that were at Astronomicon? I know Booker T was the one that I recognized.
Eric Bischoff was
right.
there.
Scott Hall.
Kevin Nash.
Papa Shango. Is he a wrestler? I know nothing about wrestling.
Yeah, we just saw the banner. We walked by the table. It's like, oh, Papa Shung. I guess he looks like a wrestler.
I literally know nothing about wrestling. And that's the unfortunate thing going to comic book conventions because it's like media guests, comic book artists, and then like a third of it is wrestlers.
Right.
And
the funny thing is on the other side was completely different. It was Twisted.
Yes.
The band.
Yes. Which I didn't know it was hosted by – when I heard Astronomicon, I was like, oh, it's sci-fi.
Yeah.
Astronomicon.
Yeah, I didn't even know where they came up with the name. I thought it would have been like, you know, like WeedCon or
based on the clientele, you would think that.
Yeah.
Based on the odor that was reminiscing throughout the entire
– Juggalo Junction or something.
Oh, yeah. So they had it at a hotel. It's called a Wyndham Hotel. And I walked in there. I was actually there the night before to set up. And even then, the cloud of weed hit me right away. I'm like, oh, is that how we're doing things here? So everyone had weed on them as part of the Twisted culture. But it made it one of the best cons I've ever been to. Everyone was so laid back, relaxed. Everyone had a great time.
I didn't have any problems with anybody there.
No.
Like nobody was a jerk. Like you get those normally hoity-toity people at any convention, and this one didn't really seem to have any. Everybody
no, they're like,
really
hey,
nice.
Man, sorry. Like you want some weed? Like, yeah. Yeah, so this dude came up to my table. He's like, oh, man, I don't have enough for an autograph. I'm like, well, what do you have? He's like, I got like 10 bucks. I'm like, how about 10 bucks and two joints? And
all right.
And, you know, how's that sound? And he's like, yeah, man, that's a great idea. before he made that offer, he showed me that he had. I was just kidding around. I was like, hey, man, how much weed you got on you? He opened up his backpack. He had this huge, like, it was like a mason jar, but like bigger. It was like a 2 liter mason jar. It was butt all the way up to the top. Kind of like, all right, this guy's he's packing. So as a joke, I was like, you know, how about 2 joints into like $10 and we'll call it a deal. He's like, I'll be right back. And sure enough, he delivered. So
tributes. Yeah. Tributes to Ming.
Yeah. I mean, weed was legal tender at this con. If you want to think of it that way.
Of course it would be. I think it – well, hold on. That brings up the interesting question. Okay. What is the strangest thing that you've taken as currency at a con then?
That might have – that's not really strange though because no. that is tender. Jeez, man. I traded a case of Faygo Moon Mist for some stuff this weekend.
Yeah.
There's no Faygo in New Jersey where Jane Sobhoff's secret stash is. So Faygo Moon Mist is like gold to me.
That's the holy grail.
Yeah, I can't go to the 7-Eleven and buy it here. So that's pretty weird. I don't know. Is there anything else that's weird? I mean, I signed a baby once. We didn't really trade anything for it, but someone has like, hey, will you sign my kid?
That's amazing.
Was this at Astronomicon?
No, this is at a con in Baltimore of all places. And
okay.
They wanted us to sign the onesie, but it was on a living, breathing human child.
All right.
And I was like, yeah, I guess like it's your money. You can do whatever you want.
Did
they
name the child after you?
No, I don't think they did. So they could have. The name was already on the onesie. So
yeah.
But yeah, the weed is a unique one though. Is that, you know, most other places, you're not supposed to be that public about it.
Eh.
Here, no one gave a crap.
You could tell from the smell as soon as you walked in that it was very relaxed there.
Yeah,
to put it as blatantly as possible.
Yeah, and it was cool. Yeah, even though if you're not into wrestlers, you might have been into Twisted or, you know, Jason Mewes and Brian O'Halloran from Clerks or Ryan Hurst from Sons of Anarchy. It was a really good mix. And yeah, they shout out to them. They did a really good job. That was from my experience of it. I've been to a lot of these things. I went to like 30 cons last year. And this one, especially for one that was run on a first year, they did a great job.
For a first year. Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of that had to do with the music background. Like you said, it's run by Twisted. But they had their whole promotion team behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they even did a couple of personal concerts at like the Crowfoot or something like that as part of the VIP package that you could get.
Yeah. It was awesome. But everything from the promotion to just the way it was run, it was very like a concert would have been done up. You know, they took good care of the talent, all that stuff. But all the organization came from a musical background and it worked really well. So I hope more musical access at their conventions. They were very organized.
So even as a guest, you saw very good organization.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think as a guest, you kind of see everything because you have access to everything. You see, you know, I've been in cons where I see promoters like yelling at each other like, oh, this is not a good sign. You know, if things are crumbling even before the con starts, you get a sense of how things are going. But none of that with this. They seemed to have everything together. And yeah, my weekend went very fast. Which is always a good sign. If you're at a crappy con, it goes really slow. You're like, can I get out of here? And they're like, no, you can't leave. You're contractually obligated to stay here till like 10 o'clock or whatever.
So there is some overlap between the Comic Book Men fans and the Twisted fans. Then.
I had no idea. It was great. I wasn't a Twisted fan before I came here. I did grow up in Ann Arbor and I have lived in this area. So I was aware of the Insane Clown Posse. But it didn't look like anything that I would get into, like painting my face up and spraying Faygo on people and, you know, going into wrestling rings or, you know, whatever they do. So I was not a Twisted fan. But, yeah, it seems like there's a big crossover of Kevin Smith fans, Comic Book Men fans, and Twisted fans. And God bless them.
As well as the horror genre.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a niche going on at Astronomicon with horror, especially.
A lot of comic books that you could get. They had the blank variants, the sketch variants.
Yeah.
Literally every single one had Twisted on the front of it in different formats. It was really cool. Again, not my cup of tea, but it was a good experience. You know, I've gone to weirder things I've spent more money on stupider things.
BronyCon.
And I had speaking of, yes.
Okay. cool. No judging. It's I've been to BronyCon as well. We went to one for the show. But
yep.
Yeah, yes. I remember that.
Yeah.
That episode hit home.
Okay. All right. But yeah, I mean, thank you to all the Twisted fans who also came out to see me and Brian O'Halloran and Jason Mewes. That was really cool. I just had no idea.
So you were fairly busy then throughout the entire time.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I just loved talking to people about pop culture, whatever they're into. And yeah, I couldn't really talk to them about Twisted, but I could smoke weed like a Twisted fan.
There we go.
So, but I mean, same stuff. You know, they want to talk about Star Wars and Stan Lee and Kevin movies. And I'm pretty well versed on that. So that was really fun.
I mean, you joined Kevin Smith's crew as a fan of Smith. So you have that fanboy kind of charm with
it. I still have that. People are still asked, they're like, do you still fanboy out over stuff? I'm like, hell yeah. Like, why would you stop just because, you know, just because you get to meet some of them? It makes it even more intense, the fanboyism. So, and I'm lucky enough to go to these conventions where, you know, you might be eating a slice of pizza next to, you know, like a Kevin Nash or a Mark Hamill or someone like that. It's pretty cool.
So did you ever expect to get to that point where you'd be invited to cons?
No. I thought I'd just be I would have been fine just going to cons as a guest my whole life, which like me and Mike do. Well, not so much. And Brian definitely doesn't go to cons unless he's invited and he gets treated like a princess and people bring him stuff hand and foot. But no, I would have been fine just going to cons. And I mean, I saw no reason why I would ever be invited to a con. I don't create a book. I'm not a creator. I'm not a writer or artist. And I'm not an actor. But it's weird how things just happen. So, but it makes it even more special coming to a con in Michigan, where I grew up and where I did go to cons as a fan. Because, I mean, it's just cool. It's like, you know, it's like going home.
Yeah. I mean, when you came back to Michigan, what was the first thing that you did?
I podcasted with Twisted, but they were like, can we get you anything? I'm like, yeah, can you get me a bag of Better Made potato chips and a Verner's?
Yep.
And they ran down to the convenience store and got it for me. And yeah, that was the first thing I did. Like I just delved right into the Michigan delicacies that I can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, because I first found out that you were from Michigan like a couple weeks ago when you were booked for it. And I was like, okay, so what are the Michigan things that we can get them? It's going to be hard to smuggle a chili dog into a con.
It is. People have done it, but thank God bless them. Yeah.
So it was like Better Made, Verner's, and Faygo that were the top three things that just kept coming to mind.
Yeah, and thank you. And you guys delivered. If you saw our table at the con, it looked like a convenience store. Blew up. I took all that home. My parents still live in Ann Arbor. I trucked all that back. It's on the kitchen table right now. I had forgotten it snowed over the weekend. Don't ask me how I forgot this, but when I drove home last night, I was like, oh, crap. The driveway had to be shoveled. I couldn't get in. So I was like, screw it. I'll do it tomorrow. So I shoveled all morning, and I rewarded myself with a Faygo Moon Mist and a Verner's. That was my reward at the end of it.
There you go. How much? I know you posted to Facebook a couple like months back when you were first booked, telling everybody to bring as many Verner's as possible. Sure. How many people actually brought you Verner's?
I got, I think only you guys did. So they must have seen you guys brought me 2 6-pack 20-ounce bottles.
Yes.
If anybody else did, they may have been intimidated at that point. You know, they have their little 20-ounce, like, oh, crap. And I love how Faygo, they don't just go 2 liter, they go 2.5 liter.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I got a bunch of that, and somebody brought me a case of Moon Mist. So, and then the 2 Better Made potato chip bags. Yeah, I went to town on all of that, gentlemen.
See, we had trouble finding Faygo at Meijer, of all places. Michigan of
stores, yeah.
Yeah. They didn't stock Faygo for some reason.
Yeah.
And we were looking for that. We were going to get something else today, but it was pretty crazy going everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
we were
going to
get
problem.
Mackinac Island fudge because you can't get that.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Or Sanders chocolate.
There we go.
Yeah, Sanders is pretty good.
Yeah, we even joked about sending one of our other regular podcasters, Ferris, and just going, Ferris, go up to Mackinac, grab some fudge, right, come down
make
here.
It back. You can make it back in time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can do it.
You have 10 hours. Go.
Meanwhile, there's probably some specialty store down the street that has a ton of it. That's awesome. But how do you Faygo, man? How do you not Faygo? Meijer's, for anybody outside of Michigan listening, is a 24-hour store where you can buy groceries, but you can also get stuff like lawn chairs and snow tires.
Yep.
And if you want to get both, if you want like caramel popcorn and Campbell's chicken noodle soup and like
baby booties.
Yeah, baby booties. And a hand towel at 4 a.m. You can go do that at Meijer's. It was great.
Late night Meijer runs. They're the best.
Yeah,
better than Walmart. Better than anything.
Isn't that the place? Isn't that the place that's spelled like Meijers?
It is.
Yes,
Meijer's.
Yes,
is that okay? I've always seen stuff posted online that because I know they sell like electronics stuff too. And I always see people like post like deals for that. I'm like, what is this place? I've been to the website once or twice, but I didn't even know they had a physical store. I thought they were just an online only thing.
Oh, they do, yeah. My friend. And people ask me, what's the one thing you miss about Michigan? I always say Myers. For sure, Myers.
Because you can get everything from there,
right? Yeah. And the 1 cent pony rides.
Yes,
the little pony. Oh, the little the pony ride for the kids. It's been 1 cent for like ever, and they refuse to change it.
I don't think I don't even know if the Meyer around us. We're from 21 in Garfield. Yeah. I don't think it has that anymore.
No, they still have it.
Oh yeah,
do they?
Yeah, every Meyer still has that.
It's not a real Meyer without the 1 cent pony rides.
I can still fit on those though.
So can I.
Have you done that since you came back to Michigan?
I have not. You need someone to do it with. You can't just go and do it by yourself. You need to do it. Someone else like does the Instagram boomerang or whatever. You know, it's funny if someone's laughing at you while you're doing it.
It's sad if it's just you doing it.
Yeah, you can't.
You don't want to just go in there, push a kid aside, and just jump on the horse and put a penny in.
I do, but
is that the guy from Comic Book Man?
I know, yeah.
He's shoving
my kid around to the 1 cent pony ride. What's wrong with him?
Can you sign this?
Yeah.
Hey, kid, hold my camera.
Yeah, exactly. So no,
sign my baby.
I have not. Like if we went, like I'd be, hey man, let's go jump on that pony ride.
With Astronomicon, do you prefer the smaller conventions, like if you were to go to like Astronomicon, or do you prefer like Wizard World? Which one is better in your mind?
It really depends. It depends on what other guests are there, because once you go to a bunch of cons, you start becoming friends with some of these guys, and sometimes you'll hang out afterwards. So that factors into it. It just boils down to like the heart. You can you know the heart that they put into the con. Some of these bigger cons, you can tell they're just there to make money, and it's not as fun. And then shows like Astronomicon, where, you know, like they'll let you bring in Verners and Faygo to do a guest. You know, they won't check your bag for outside food, where they're not all uptight. A lot of cons are well, not a lot, but some of them are that fun. And those are the ones I really like. I mean, yeah, the big, you know, San Diego, it's hard to move around. And like New York Comic Con, like you can't even get tickets into if you don't sign up right away. That therefore, you know, cutting off a lot of people who really want to go. It's just a different environment. You know, of course, you have your big companies there and exclusives and all of that. But, if I just want to go for fun, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Astronomicon definitely delivered on that. And then, you know, I've been to Motor City Comic Con. That one's, obviously bigger and well run. Also a lot of fun, though. Also a lot of fun.
It's got the heart of a small convention.
Yeah,
with the big guests and the big.
Yeah,
you know.
I agree. Exactly. I definitely agree.
Ever checked out Yomicon?
No, that's an anime, right? Is that an anime?
Yeah, anime focus.
Yeah, I'm not in the anime world yet. Like,
it's got
a large
following.
Like, if they put me in like Attack on Titan or something, I could be like a badass. They don't really put real life people in anime though.
What
do
about
they?
That? You can voice. Have you been?
That I would love to voice. I would love to voice. Unfortunately, the business of voice acting is very hard to break into.
Brian O'Halloran somehow voiced somebody in Pokemon.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Really?
Why doesn't he brag about that instead of a movie that came out 20 years ago?
Because it was 5 episodes for a character who never came back.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
But still, Pokemon's pretty big, though.
Yeah.
That's worldwide.
Right?
Does he have a creature that you can catch on Pokemon?
Oh, no.
Too bad.
That might be why he's not bragging about it. He got kind of, you know, you get to voice this character for 3 episodes.
Yeah, but the voice actors at cons, that's another group that comes as guests. They're huge, like the Overwatch talent, yeah, Pokemon, you know, Sailor Moon, whatever. Yeah, they're huge, yeah.
That's a lot of the things, or a lot of the people that go to Yomicon, they go, it's like I wish Matt Mercer went, but like you said, a lot of the voice actors, Victor, I can never pronounce
John St. John.
Yeah, John St. John. You got John DiMaggio.
Right.
All of them
Team
go.
Team 4-Star.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you could probably, with the internet, you could probably make a Ming-centric YouTube series, and they would definitely
pick up on that. Like if I ate 100%. Like if I ate dog food and hot sauce, I drink hot sauce. It's that simple. It is actually that simple. I could do that.
Their entire YouTube channel is based on bringing guests on to eat hot wings.
Right.
Just hot wings.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, they're getting 4 million viewers. So yeah, why not? Why not us, gentlemen?
Is it the wings though, or is it the guests? Because those wings might just be fire.
I think it's a big mix of both.
Right.
Watching your favorite people be tortured by hot sauce.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it, especially if it's free. Yeah, I'm definitely watching it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Oh, man. But
you actually just started your own studio out in New Jersey as well.
I did. A studio built specifically for podcasting that helps other people launch their podcasts or continue their podcasts. Does this place sound familiar to you, gentlemen?
I don't know. Never heard of it.
this place, we call it a Shared Universe Podcast Studio. It's a partnership between me and Mike Zapsa from Comic Book Men. We love podcasting, obviously. And at cons, we're constantly being peppered with questions. How do I start a pod? Is it expensive? What kind of gear do I need? What? I've never done this before. Like, could I do it? And, you know, the answer to all that is, well, it's not expensive. It's easy to do, and of course you can do it, but we never had, you know, it'd be like a 5-minute conversation, and we want to do something more. It's like, wouldn't it be cool if we had our own space and we could sit people down for like an hour and tell them all the basics and stuff that they wanted to know? What if the second hour they could actually have a podcast and they could be up on iTunes in like 10 minutes? It's like, that'd be pretty awesome. And we met Bob and Dave, who ran this place, and they already had a place like that. I came down, podcasted with them. I saw like all the great energy and just how much fun it was. And they had the little touches like the free beer and shit. And just, but the main part I took away from that was like, you know, there are people like you guys coming in, hanging out with your friends once a week and podcasting and how much fun that was. I was like, why would we do this in New Jersey? And in Detroit, I kind of saw it, you know, it's a big metro area. The rents here are a lot cheaper. Like starting something like this up here is a little easier, but I was like, could we do it out there? And we just kind of went for it about a year ago, but we really started ramping up maybe 2-3 months ago. And yeah, people have responded to it out there like they have here. People are starting pods about, you know, everything from pop culture to just to like, you know, to like wrestling, video games. There's a vegan food festival that wants to advertise their event and promote veganism. I'm like, dude, that's great. So it's fun, but we definitely ripped them off. There's no doubt.
I mean, the only thing you can't rip off is the community that they've built here.
Right. And you know that we're getting there. We're getting there. I think that'll just happen organically, but yeah, I make no
Yeah, what Podcast Detroit does I think once a month or once every couple months is a networking meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, every
That's smart. And yeah, I know a couple other podcasters in the area. There must be more though that I'm not aware of. I would love to meet all of them. But the other reason we opened the space, I was able to get all that crap that I bought at cons, like all the artwork, all the autographs I've collected, all that stuff, and I have somewhere to put it up now. So I mean, it's covering the walls, and it's cool. Like
it's like your man cave on the
side. It's a place I never want to leave. So, and I felt the way I feel the same way about here too. I never want to leave. I would be here every day if I lived here.
It's got a nice energy to it, and it's something that you can put your heart into. For when you're talking about like podcasting and doing all these things and meeting all the fans and going to the like the comic conventions, you're talking about it again as a fan.
Right.
You're not just I'm here. I need to sign these books to make money.
Right. Yeah. And there are a lot of those guys out there. Some of them at cons, you can see that they're waiting and they're just there until they can get out of there and get paid.
Exactly.
I want to have fun, man. Like, why am I going to an event that I have no interest in being at? Like, that would be horrible. That's like jail.
That's like when you have to drag your significant other and they're like, sure, whatever. We're going somewhere after the Comic-Con.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been dragged to many Home and Garden shows and things like that. Yeah, it's awful.
But and you're not as enthused to go to those?
The Home and Garden shows?
Yeah.
There's no. No, I want to see the latest technology and, you know, sprinkler heads. No, not really. No.
Maybe if they have Philips Hue technology, so you can just set it up with, like, lights on your phone so it can be atmospheric.
That I would be into.
Yeah, but they don't have them.
No, they don't. They have
just for that 5 minutes of that, and then you'd be back to, okay, can we leave now?
Right.
I'm done here.
Is there a bar here? Like, yeah. Man, there's never any bar there.
No.
So.
Have you visited your frequent bars since being back in Michigan?
I went to a couple of them. I've been going to this place called you guys live around here?
Oh, yeah.
There's a place called Zeke's Rock and Roll Barbecue in Ferndale, which my friend Becky bartends at, which I've been going to a lot here. And then I found out, like, Ferndale is, like, really cool now. So there's a speakeasy over there called the Oakland that me and Bob and Dave wound up at last night. There's called the Embrew that I found out about.
Oh, Embrew is great. I used to live right on the same street as Embrew. It was dangerous.
It looks like it's in a, there's a bar. It looks like it's in a house, and you walk in, it looks like a lodge. It's got all the.
It's literally a house that they kind of emptied out, and they were like, what are we going to do with the basement? Let's throw some arcade cabinets down there.
Yeah, and they did. So there's a pool table down there. There's like 10 pinball machines, which is awesome. I love pinball, and it's just a great place. It's not too loud in there. It's definitely a place I would go to with my friends and just hang out. They have like picnic tables and stuff. So, yeah, that place is awesome. My favorite place of all time is, I found out, is temporarily closed right now. It's a place called Tom's Tavern on 7 Mile. Don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I don't think so.
It looks like this plywood shack that's about to fall over at any minute. And I pulled it up on a list of best dive bars in America about two and a half years ago. And on a whim, me and Mike Zapsik were in town for a con. And I was like, let's go. Let's go. This place has to be either awesome or we're never going to be seen from again. And we rolled up in there and it looked scary. It looked like a scene from a horror movie. But we went in there. There's a drunk guy in there running the place. They had a great jukebox. The floor slants to the left if you go in there because it's been there for 100 years. Their wooden floor rotted out one day.
All right.
And so the owner went and got a bunch of bags of concrete and he went to his drunk customers like, hey, will you guys help me, you know, lay some concrete on the floor, and they screwed it up, of course. So if you go in the bar, it literally leans to the left. Like, if you put a drink on the bar, it will start sliding. But I found – I was going to go back there, and I wanted to take people, and then I found out, for whatever reason, it has been open in 2 months.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Maybe they're fixing the floor.
Not likely. If they hadn't done it – I mean, when they laid that concrete, it was like 1983. So if they haven't done it by now, it wasn't – yeah. I heard there may be problems with the liquor license or something. I'm like, come on. Just let him go. Just let him run it.
The place is already a rundown shack. Let them have their beer.
Yeah,
should be grandfathered in or something.
It should be. It was such I wish I could take you gentlemen there, especially since we're literally like 5 miles from there. And it's such a great place.
I'm definitely going to have to keep watch and see if that place opens back up.
Yeah, I'll let you know because I may drive back just for that momentous occasion when it does reopen.
Hit us up. We'll meet you there.
Yeah, and it's been through – it's almost been near death several times. There was one where it's been run into by cars off 7 Mile like a couple times. It burned down once or twice. There was one where the owner came and some thieves have just ripped a hole in the actual wall and just went in and took everything. So it's been through some hard times and it came back, so –
I'd like to think that every time something terrible happened, just all the regulars were like, okay, well, I guess I'll grab some plywood from Home Depot. Let's build the place back up.
Yeah. I think it actually does have that kind of spirit. So whatever is keeping it down right now must unfortunately be somewhat serious. But I think it can come back. I'm confident.
Okay. And then you're actually from Ann Arbor.
I am.
You went to Michigan University.
I did. I went to University of Michigan.
Did you go back to Ann Arbor yet since you
visited? I did. Yeah. So AstronautCon graciously invited me to their event maybe like 3 or 4 months ago. I called my parents. I'm like, hey, I'm coming home. Probably be home for a week. We can hang out, whatever. They're like, what were those dates again? I'm like, February 9th to the 11th. They're like, oh, we're going to California for the month. We're not even going to be there. And I'm like, crap. So they have never seen me at a con before. Like, I would love for my mom and dad to come to a panel with like me and Brian Johnson and for them to yell at him, like, quit being so mean to my boy or so, you know, something like that.
What's that smell?
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome. So they like left a key for me in the backyard and like I've been driving my mom's car around. It feels like I'm in high school again a little
bit. Super old school.
Except I have the whole run of the house to myself. So.
And you don't really have to worry about coming home and like.
No, yeah, I've been coming home at like 3 in the morning every night because, you know, it's not close to here. So.
Exactly.
But I did. I went back to on campus. I Thursday before the con started. I had like the whole day to wander around. It was cool. I mean, not much has changed. You know, they've built new buildings and stuff there, but it's been pretty much the same. So I've been hitting all my favorite stuff. If you guys are into comics, Vault of Midnight Comics is out there. One of the most influential comic book stores in my personal life. Those guys got me really back into comics in the mid 90s, and just a lot of the restaurants and stuff I hit up. So,
as a fan of comics,
yes.
What is the comic line you're following the most right now?
I drift depending what's going on. I'm reading the DC Doomsday Clock right now, which is cool. Like the Watchmen are back and they're kind of screwing everything up, which is pretty awesome. Marvel, there's a whole bunch of Avengers titles. I'm waiting for the Fantastic Four to come back eventually.
Hopefully.
They had, if you're not into comics, they had canceled the Fantastic Four storyline because they didn't own the rights to the movies. Before December.
Yep.
They didn't own the rights to the Fantastic Four. They're like, well, why are we putting on a comic book, basically advertising a movie that another company owns? They had sold the rights years prior when Marvel was going downhill. They almost went bankrupt. And that's why there have been no good Fantastic Four movies. But now with the Disney buying everything and the rights of the Fantastic Four are still kind of up in the air, but I think we will have a Marvel Cinematic Fantastic Four movie soon. But long story short, they did bring – Reed Richards and Sue Storm are kind of disappeared right now, but they did recently
come back. They're off creating multiverse or something like that.
Supposedly they're dead, but you know how that goes. So,
it's like a Doctor Doom thing going on.
Yeah, there's an old Doctor Doom thing going on. Yeah. And Johnny Storm and The Thing are kind of – they're trying to find Reed and Sue right now. But I'm reading all the Avengers titles. There's an X-Men Blue and Gold series going on right now, which is very reminiscent of the 90s X-Men that I read back in the day, which I'm following pretty closely.
The latest X-Men Blue had a Venom crossover.
Yeah.
And it was one of the last two titles, and it's really cool. Also, they've been doing like Venomverse and Edge of Venomverse, a ton of that stuff. I've been reading a lot of Dark Knight's Metal.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's
absolutely brilliant.
I was actually out of comic books for probably like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, got you back in?
And someone was like, you need to read this Dark Knight's Metal. It's all about Batman and different multiverse Batman. I picked it up. Since then, I've spent probably about like $4,000 on comics, just going back, rebuying things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty hardcore, man.
Well, yeah. And then I just sent out some books to get graded.
Yeah.
So I sent out Harley Quinn number one from the original 2000 run, Gotham City Sirens number one, Harley and Ivy number one.
Right. We got to get you Batman Adventures 12, my friend.
I wish.
We'll get there.
I hope so.
We'll get there.
I mean, we need to make a trip out to New Jersey. One, food. Two, secret stash. And three, me and fiance and everybody like to travel.
Right.
So
four podcasts.
Exactly.
Studios open to you guys, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll be down there.
Oh, absolutely. I think you'll like it.
Yeah. I don't think anything could make me not like it.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was a conversation we've had a couple times when he first got back into comics. I was like, so we're going to make a trip to the secret stash then. He was like, yeah, that would be cool. And then I forced him to watch Comic Book Men. And ever since, he's like,
man.
So we got to go to see the secret stash.
Yeah. Thanks.
I binged watched 6 seasons in a matter of a week and a half.
Dude, thank you, man.
It was crazy.
That's awesome.
And when they said, because originally it was like, oh, Astronomicon, like it was mentioned. And this isn't just like to be brown nosing, but you're actually one of my favorite people on Comic Book Men.
Thank you.
One, because you're so peppy and optimistic about everything. Even if you do something and it doesn't go your way.
Yeah, I'll find another way to do it or something. But
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's nothing against like Walt, Mike.
Oh, no, there's a lot against them. Yeah,
they're not in the studio right now.
No, that's true.
They can't defend themselves.
True. No, they're a bunch of old assholes, man. I mean, they're very negative. But it's the East Coast mentality, though, where even if the sun's out, like the sun's not really shining. But I came in from Michigan, so I went pretty much directly from Michigan over there. So I think I brought an attitude that we only have here, which is, a lot of positivity.
It could be sleeting and snowing and we'll still be like.
And you'd be like, I'm going to go to Astronomicon. I don't care how bad the weather is. And that's exactly what happened this weekend. It snowed about 15 inches. Didn't stop anybody.
No.
A lot of people came out. A lot of people drove through all that.
It stopped people who aren't from Michigan.
Yes.
A couple people canceled, which it's good that they didn't, they didn't run into anything. But if anything, that just means that if Astronomicon wants to do a second con, they could probably pick a better time frame.
Sure. March, maybe April, when it's not snowing so bad.
We hope
in Michigan, it'll snow up to September sometimes. So.
Yeah. But it's really cool to see that didn't stop a lot of people. Like it was, Friday we probably got it. Friday, Saturday probably got it about the worst. And these people came in droves, man.
Yeah.
It was really cool. When I saw how bad it was, I was like, oh man, I've seen people bail for less is what I'm saying, a rainstorm or something wussy like that. But no, not here in Michigan, man. It was pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Because you, of all the weekends to come back and visit, you got the perfect Michigan weekend.
I think so. Yeah. If you could combine the elements that what makes this state and this area, the Southeast area, great, definitely did.
Oh, yeah. So overall, you enjoyed Astronomicon?
I did, immensely. Again, shout out to how well run it was. Shout out to the staff and the volunteers, the security, just and most importantly, the people who came out. I really want to thank them. I just the Michigan, you know, the Michigan spirit's still alive and well. And
oh, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and Brian Johnson, he'd never been to Michigan before, so I was, I wanted to give him a good experience, so he'll come back. You know, if they do another one, he'll want to come back, or, you know, if Motor City decides to invite us in the future, or there's a con out in Grand Rapids, or, there's actually a lot of cons in this state that I would love to go to. And, I like it better when everybody comes with me.
Rock. You, of course, brought Brian to Coney Island as soon as he got here, right?
I didn't. He drove. He flew in on a different day, and he was confused. Everyone was like, you got to get a Coney Island. He's like, what the hell are you talking about?
They have it at the airport now.
So. Yeah, I saw that. I don't even know if he eats them anymore. I don't know if you've seen him lately.
Yeah.
Dude's lost a ton of weight, man.
He has.
He's like training for Rocky IV or something. I don't know.
He's ripped.
He looks good.
He told Lou that he was going to keep off the diet. He said he wasn't going to do the regimen anymore. Yeah. And then like I saw him and I was like, wow.
Yeah, Lou had nothing to do with it, by the way. There was an episode where Lou Ferrigno came in to help him lose weight.
Yep.
And it didn't really work. Because this was like 5 years ago.
Yep.
So Brian went at it. He took his own motivation, his own heart, his own stamina, everything. And he's a new Brian Johnson today, everybody. And I'm glad to hear it because the new Brian Johnson came to Astronomicon. The old Brian Johnson probably wouldn't have. But he saw that I was on the bill and he was like, hey, can you talk to them? See if you can get me in as well, because he's a huge horror fan. Yep. Out of all my friends, he's probably the most knowledgeable horror guy I know about any horror movie past like 1967 up until now. Like he'll even go see crappy movies that come out that look god awful. He'll see all the stuff on direct to video.
Yeah, me too.
He'll see all that. But he saw Kane Hodder and Bill Moseley were coming to the con. He's like, hey, can you ask them if I can moderate their panels as well? And I'm like, I'm sure that'll be no problem. And I sat in on his panels. He knocked him out of the park. So I'm hoping for more of this. It's fun. It's fun. The more of us that go, the more fun it is. And if he's in a good mood and he's having a good time, definitely the more fun it is. And
Motor City Comic Con, if you're listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I love that con. I'm not that far from Novi. Mike Zapsik and I came out in 2016 mm-hmm. to great success. We had so much fun. It was pretty cool. And I went to that con 22 years ago when it was in Dearborn. I think it was at the high school or something. That was like my first like big real con. Prior to that, they were in like church basements, and I think there was one at the mall that I went to once, but not one where you bought a ticket and they had like dealers and it was like huge. And I went as a fan in 1996, so it was cool to come back 20 years later as a guest. That just says like if I can get invited as a guest, it might take 20 years, but anyone can do it, man. I definitely got lucky. I'm not going to discount that. But I think if you just stick to what you love, like who knows, man, you could get invited to Motor City Comic Con in 20 years.
And worst case scenario, if you don't, you've been doing something that's not work for as long as you've been doing it. You can't really complain.
That's how I look at it. Yeah, it doesn't feel like work at all. It's pretty crazy. Work is like, shoveling snow after a snowstorm here in Michigan.
When your profession is your passion, you don't know the difference between work or play.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good quote, man. Is that yours? Let's say yes.
Yeah.
All right. Good job.
Yeah.
Trademarked.
Good job. Trademarked as of now. I'm going to go get that tattooed on my body later on.
You can have him come back and sign it too.
Yeah.
Okay, I will.
Then you can have that tattooed so it's just permanent.
I know a tattoo guy if you need one.
All right, well, let's go. Let's go tonight. Yeah, why wait? Right, life is short.
How many drinks is it going to take before we get that one going?
I don't know, but there's a lot of alcohol out there, my friends.
It might not, especially in Michigan.
It might not take that much.
I mean, literally right outside the door.
Yes, there is a keg literally feet away from us.
Yeah, it's from falling down.
Yeah, good brewery, everyone.
Ever heard of PenguinCon before?
I just heard of that from Bob and Dave. Apparently, it's like a hotel party con.
Well, that's how they throw it.
Okay,
it's a science fiction convention.
Okay,
open source kind of initiative with computers.
Right.
So there's like a technology track.
Okay,
I guess there's several different tracks, right?
There's like, nerd tracks. There's the cosplayer track, everything like that.
There's a food track, a technology track, like, you know, cosplay.
Sounds right up my alley, my friend.
Different, you know, segments that you can go into. Yeah. And then the party scene is unreal. It's the entire hotel.
Right. So everyone's taking over. Those are my favorite hotel scenarios when the whole con is just taking over the whole building. So you don't have to worry about noise. You can have people in your room, like as many as you want.
Yeah.
And you can do stuff like have room parties.
Yeah, that's exactly how this is. They throw the biggest Podcast Detroit throws one of the biggest hotel parties. They've won the party contest every year for the last few years, you know?
Yeah, I've been to some pretty serious room parties. The last one I went to was in St. Louis, and somebody, they took out all the furniture from their room.
That's what,
and they turned it into the Satellite of Love from Mystery Science Theater.
That's amazing.
And it was,
that's great.
It was all, they had a Crow T rope. They had all the robots in there. They all dressed up. It looked amazing. And I'm pretty sure they won. I definitely voted for them. So
That's awesome. One of the best parts about con parties is you have those completely nerded out con parties.
Yeah.
It's an experience of itself outside of the con that everybody always remembers.
Right. And if you're a nerd, you don't half-ass it. You go all out.
Yeah,
you spare no expense.
I bet they weren't even at the con. They're just there. At the hotel, preparing that con room.
They probably were, which was fine with me. So, you know, there was a line to get into the hotel, you know, the room party, but it went pretty quick.
I love that part because it's all about the networking at that point. You know, you're talking with like-minded people on the same subject matter, and you're talking shop, and everybody understands exactly what you're saying to them because, you know, they're the same person as you in a way, you know?
You don't feel like an outlier.
Yeah.
It's the same when we have the podcast meetups around here. You're surrounded by other people that are doing their passion.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to see people get excited about talking about their podcast and everything like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's one of my favorite parts. And I just love how open it is. You can do whatever you want. Do whenever you want. You can say whatever you want.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
Have you had that experience at the new studio yet where you have somebody walking out just going, this is the greatest
thing ever? We've gotten a lot of first-time podcasters, and they're really nervous coming. It's like, you know, they see the gear and all this, like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. And I'm like, hey, sit down, and we'll just go. And by the time you get out of here, you'll forget all about that. And that's exactly what happens. And, they feel so cool walking out. And I was like, yeah, you know, we did our job. Another satisfied customer, which is awesome. But we already know this feeling. We get that feeling every episode.
And,
I love spreading that though. I love spreading. Everyone's got a story, and all they need to do is talk about it and have it recorded and send it out to the world. It's great.
Yeah, it's the same for every single podcast, no matter how long you've been doing it too. You walk in going, well, how's this one going to go? And then you walk out going, that was great.
Yeah.
That was a fun hour. Even if nobody else listens, that was a fun hour.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think if you look it up, Kevin has a really great quote about podcasting. He's like, listen, you don't need talent. Everyone's got a story. Everyone is an expert on something. Just share that with everybody else, and that's your podcast. I'm paraphrasing, but it was basically that.
I think
a great quote.
I think you just get better over time, just doing it over and over. It's just like riding a bicycle or anything else.
Yeah, for sure. You know? But it's fun, man.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's the one thing that, like you said, everybody can do. You don't need to be prestigious to look things up. You don't need to know how to operate the board. You can always find someone who can teach you that.
Yep.
Nothing is out of reach.
Right.
Yeah. That's always a daunting thing when you walk into a room and you see a board like this one.
Right.
Which is...
It's got 10 million switches on it. Like, listen, I don't know what half that stuff does. But I know how to set it so it sounds okay, and that's all you need to know.
Full disclosure, I have no idea what most of this stuff does either, and I operate it every podcast.
Yeah, full disclosure, I don't know either, and I just open up a studio where I guess I'm supposed to know what the, you know, the equalizer knobs... I don't know. It sounds good. That's it. So.
As long as you make it look like you know what you're doing, no one else will question it.
Right, exactly.
So basically, when people come into the studio, they're like, so what does that button do? You just go, don't touch that button.
Yeah, don't touch that. That's for me. That's back off, man. I'm a scientist. Yeah, back off, man. I'm a studio engineer. Yeah, exactly.
And you guys, you and Mike actually will join people on their podcast too.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I find that to be a unique selling point, I guess.
Yeah,
podcast with a comic book man or Ming and Mike, or you know, we have built up somewhat of a reputation for having a you know, for as longtime podcasters. So, yeah, if anyone wants us to join in with them, absolutely, man. Now, I mean, we would probably do it anyways, though. It's like, oh, you got an open mic? Like, here, what are you guys talking about? Yeah, we've done that before.
See, I'm surprised Brian Johnson hasn't joined you with that because he does a lot of podcasts on his own as well.
Yeah, he's pretty stuck on his own, which is Tell Him Steve Dave, which is him, Walt Flanagan, and Brian Quinn from TV's Impractical Jokers. They're pretty dedicated to their own show, and they don't even really have guests all the time. They don't have a lot of guests. I can count like on one or two hands the number of actual outside people who've actually sat down with them. Mm-hmm. For the most part, it's all three of them, or they have some. They have their own whack pack now. Like, we have another employee in the store who's kind of messed up, and he tells goofy stories, and he's a little crazy. And
is he on the new season?
He is not. No, he's we're not. TV's not ready for him.
that's fair.
But podcasting is definitely ready for him. So he's a character on there. But what they've built their podcast up into is pretty phenomenal. They've got a pretty huge following. Where so much so that at every con, like, I'll see someone with a Tell Him Steve Dave t-shirt or merchandise.
Yeah. With you mentioned that there you have that one customer that comes into the store. Do you think that Comic Book Men is an accurate representation of what it's like to be in the Secret Stash?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it is. I think maybe the thing that might be misleading is, wow, if you watch the show, it's like, wow, everyone who comes in here has like really good stuff. And that's not the case. No, it's not the case in any comic book store, or any pawn shop, or any of these places. Yeah, 95% of the stuff people bring in is garbage.
It's funny because you get that. I used to work at GameStop.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Yo, my Madden. I bought it for $60." I'm like, "That's great."
Yeah, in 1994.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's worth $2. Yeah.
And it's like, I'll give you a quarter for it.
Yeah. Take it or leave it, or you can throw it in the garbage.
Exactly, and it'll do the exact same.
Right. Pretty much. Yeah. Because you're not gonna play it anymore. It's worthless too. But so, but yeah, everyone thinks that they have gold because it's old. And that's not the case.
And then people come in with the most obscure things. That I love when people come like with the Stretch Hulk. And you guys are all like, we don't even know what to do with this.
Yeah. And he was like,
I've never been stretched.
Yeah, I've never stretched this before. I'm like, great. I mean, that's definitely unique. Very niche, though. I don't know. There might be like two other guys in the world who would even make an offer close to what you're asking. Like two. And we don't know them. So you should probably find them. The weirdest thing that came in about 2 weeks ago, some guy sold us a huge collection, like tubs full of comics. We found some gold on the top of one of them, so he gave him a pretty good offer. But when we got to like the fourth and fifth tub, full of vintage porn.
Yes.
Full of vintage porn. It was all 70s and 80s, like Playboys, and some of the offshoot ones like Wii and like Cherry, like the ones that the ones like your friend's dad, weird dad would have. Like, you know, there were some offshoot ones back in the day.
So are those now for sale at the Secret Stash?
I think Mike Zapsik took them all home. I'm pretty sure. He's really into, like, vintage. He's into the vintage starlets. So I think he may have taken them.
I wonder if he's ever been to Exotica.
I've heard of Exotica. Do they do one here, too?
No, it's only – I think they only do it in, like, Vegas.
Yeah.
There's one in New Jersey, too, my friend. Would you like to hear a story? You seem to be a connoisseur in the pornography industry. We can talk about our favorite porn stores in a second.
100%.
I was flying back on a flight from Vegas to New Jersey, and I was sitting in my seat, and, you know, a beautiful girl walks up. She had the middle seat next to me, and she sits down. She seems very perturbed, and I'm like – I'm trying to make small talk. I'm like, what's going on? Is something wrong? She's like, oh, my friend's sitting all the way up there. I was trying to get her moved up, or I was trying to get me switched over so I could sit next to her. And the people up there didn't want to do it. And I don't know why I said this. I was like, oh, man, I would have switched with you. Like, you know, would have made a better flight for you. She's like, really? And I'm like, oh, crap. Why did I make this offer? I had a nice cushy seat in the aisle, you know. And then but I was like, yeah, I guess. We started talking. She was like, hey, I was like, why are you going to Jersey? She's like, oh, I'm going out for a porn convention. I'm a porn star. And I look over at her. She's very beautiful, but, you know, kind of dressed down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, really? Like, I didn't not believe her. And she's like, yeah, look around. Like, this whole plane's full of porn stars. We're all going to a porn convention. And, you know, when you sit on a plane, you don't look around at the other people. You don't give it. Yeah, you don't even crap about them. I look around. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, these look like porn stars, all right. Long story short, I ended up moving so her friend could move up and they could sit together. But, you know, I was on that flight. I was like, shit, I passed up a chance to sit
next to a porn star.
And I didn't want anything to happen, but you know, could have gotten some good stories out of it, some good stuff for podcasting later on.
Oh yeah.
Which eventually I did, because I'm telling this story now. But at the end of the flight, you know, waiting for my bag, so she came up, she gave me a hug, and she was like, "Hey, thanks, that was really nice of you." So it was worth it. I have not gone though. I would love to go.
It seems like a fun thing. It definitely seems like an experience. If I've gone to Astronomicon, something that's out of my element, I might as well. I mean, I drove to see Christy Mack, which I found out who Christy Mack was.
Shout out to Christy Mack.
Exactly. Big I found out who she was because of what happened to her with War Machine.
Yes. Oh, and yeah. Horrible.
Exactly. And I looked into like what she did, and she does a bunch of humanitarian effort stuff. She does animal shelters and like – she does domestic violence awareness, and I found out all through that, and then I clicked a link on one of the pages in one of the articles, and I was like, oh, she also does she used to do hardcore porn. And I was like, not only is she has the heart of a gold,
right,
but she has the body to back it up.
Right.
And then when I met her at Deja Vu, I got to talking to her.
You went to the Deja Vu show place.
Yes.
In Las Vegas?
No, this one was in Kalamazoo. When I went to there, I got to meet her. She signed my phone case, which at the time my phone case was a Christy Mack phone case.
Yeah.
I got a kiss. I got a kiss on the cheek.
All right, man. Nice.
And I got to take a photo with her and my fiance.
Wow, your fiance really came with you?
Oh yeah, my fiance was the one that encouraged me to go to her.
That's sweet, man. That's a keeper right there.
Definitely.
Big shout out.
That's why it's a fiance.
Yeah, right. she was the one at the convention that we told you. She was the cook.
Yes.
Yeah, she doesn't taste anything, she just cooks things.
Right. Yeah, I saw that, which I found unusual.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's very unusual, but that's why I love her.
That's awesome. All right, well, I mean, she has just gained a new fan as well, my friend.
Oh,
Christy Mack.
I know.
Yeah, I hope one day like we get to hang out with her somewhere though, like in Vegas at like the Ghost Bar or like I don't know.
Somebody needs to combine like geek stuff and porn because
that's why the conventions always happen back to back in the same city.
They happen in Vegas, yeah. CES followed by
AVN, man.
Yeah, for sure.
And so from what I hear, Exotica is kind of like a Comic Con, but with it's all porn. They have photo ops, they have booths where you can go and meet, the talent and get autographs and take photos with them. They have vendors.
Yes.
Which, you know, instead of, Harley Quinn statues, you know, there's sex toys and stuff like that. I believe they have panels as well. It's the same thing, just different genre.
And again, if you go to that, you're going to be, unless you are the socially awkward type, you'll be among people who are of the same like-mind as you. Yeah. So you'll feel at home.
Right. Just much like a Comic-Con.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of curious what those hotel parties are like.
Crazy, I would imagine.
They're completely
either super
different.
Crazy or they're super laid back and nothing really happens. It's probably one of the two.
Like, meh, been there, done that.
There's only one way to find out, my friend.
That's true. Book a flight to Exotica after I go to Disney.
Yeah, and I think they have two. They have It's twice a year in Jersey, I believe. So, I don't know. I probably wouldn't go there by myself, but I want to go there with someone who's been there before, who can kind of show me the ropes. Mm-hmm. I think
I'll go to the podcast studio.
Right.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll go to Exotica, and then we'll come back and talk about what went down.
Exactly, and then I'll be able to. Joanne will probably go with me.
All right, fantastic.
So we'll have two perspectives for that.
Right. Right on, man. It sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, I'm in.
All right. Yeah,
why not?
In. Me too.
Let's do it. Like
a four dudes who wanted to go to a porn convention. That's not unusual.
And then a comic book store.
Right.
Yeah. Poor Alex. Yeah. He's in Florida. He can't.
Sorry, Alex.
I think we lost Alex a bit ago.
We love you.
Oh, well. He'll be back eventually.
He'll show back up.
But I was wondering this.
Yes.
Every person has that pivotal moment in their life where they find out what makes it. Like, what makes them who they are?
Right.
So, like, what was your defining nerd moment?
I mean, I've had a couple. So, I met Kevin because I created a fan website for his first movie, Clerks, which was weird. It was a day like Friday, this past Friday. It was snowing. It was shitty out. I had nothing else to do. I was working in a computer lab at the University of Michigan. No one was coming in, but I had to work like a 10-hour shift. And I just decided to make this website because I was such a huge fan of Clerks, and I had no one to talk to about it because no one wanted to watch a black and white movie, and I just learned how to build a website. So I wanted to practice this new skill this new fun thing that
would
I learned.
Would you use like Microsoft Front Page or
Dreamweaver? No, I did it all by hand, my friend. Coded all by hand.
Notepad.
And I used BB Edit, I believe, which was still around at the time. An early version of like Photoshop like 3 or something. It was very early version of Photoshop. Yeah, that was pretty much it. And the web browser, there was no Google. It was all Yahoo.
It was like,
there was
Netscape.
Yahoo, Netscape, Mosaic, whatever.
Yeah.
I just had nothing to do. And I spent all day building this Clerks website. And, I unleashed it onto the world. And one day Kevin Smith saw it and he called me. And he was like, hey, man, I saw what you did. That site, that website looks really awesome. Really great tribute to my movie. I'm going to be doing more movies. I'm starting a production company. Could you do what you did on that site for my production company? Could you gather every, I want. He gave me a list. He emailed me his whole list of stuff that he wanted. He wanted a section where all his films would be featured. He wanted a gallery of photos. And then he wanted some way to communicate with the fans. His original idea was a chat room. He's like, hey, chat room, like these dirty AOL chat rooms I heard of. And I was like, I could probably do that, but I got a better idea. Why don't I put up like a message board? That way you can go on there and answer questions at your leisure. Like a chat room, you'd have to schedule a time to be on there.
It's cleaner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I set up this. It was this really crude looking, all text-based message board, but it was cool. He would go on there and answer people. It was him. And no one else was doing that. No one in the Hollywood system was doing that. No one in sport. No one famous was doing anything, interacting with anyone online. He was one of the first. So getting that phone call from him, though, was definitely a defining moment. Meeting Kevin for the first time was definitely a defining moment. And then, going out to that one day, he was like, hey, can you move out to Jersey? We want to hire you full time. That was pretty cool. The day he's like, hey, I need you and Mike to start a podcast about comic books. Call it I Sell Comics. We want to put it on our network. And I'm like, I don't do this regularly. I'll do it to fill it. We had filled it in for something for someone and we sounded pretty good. And I think he heard it. So, that was defining. I was a pretty quiet guy growing up. So I never jumped behind a microphone. I would be like on the board pressing buttons and listening to other people, like Kevin podcast. It's like, I don't have good stories. I don't have any flow. I can't spit it out like Kevin does, but now you do. I'm still getting there. I'll never nearly be as good a storyteller as Brian Johnson or Kevin Smith, but I have those guys to look up to though for sure. So yeah, you get better. And then the TV show one day Kevin's like, they're going to shoot a reality show at the store. I'm like, all right, that sounds cool. That could work. He's like, no, they want you guys in it. I'm like, why the hell do they want us in it? I'm not like Snooki, I'm not Chumlee. I'm not any of these guys. Why would they want us on there? He's like, no, it's gonna happen. And sure enough, it did. And seven seasons later, we're still busting balls on AMC after The Walking Dead in a comic book store of all places.
Nonetheless, you now have a Funko Pop of yourself.
I know, how crazy is that? it's completely ridiculous. It's great though, but as a guy who grew up collecting G.I. Joes and later on keeping toys pristine in their package. Like the pop is the perfect thing for that. And the fact that they made not one, but now there are two of me is completely, it's weird. It's great though, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Cause I'm an avid collector of those. Yeah. So when I saw those go up, I was like, I want those. Yeah. Limited to 120 pieces. Yeah. I'm never going to own one of those.
Yeah. We are coming out with another run. I'm hearing the numbers somewhere in the 1,000 or more. And they'll be exclusive to jayandsilentbob.com.
I need to find those.
Yeah, they should be out, I want to say, within the next 3 or 4 weeks. They're imminent, my friend. I've seen them. I own one. It was
yes.
It's unpackaged, but I finally got one to myself that I was able to hang out and like I'll travel and take photos of it. But I think the second run, everybody who wants one will be able to get one.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I'm going to be refreshing the site between now and whenever it goes up, just hoping to get one.
I will let everybody know. Kevin will let everybody know. There will be no secret when it goes up.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys looking to get a Chase variant of yourselves?
So they made an initial run for the Funko HQ grand opening, but they only limited it to 120 pieces. So that's like that's a pretty chase. Ultimate chase.
That's
for
a
sure.
better chase, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And then the second one is a Sesh exclusive. So I think it'll have a Sesh exclusive type sticker on it, and that'll be somewhat exclusive. But that first one is definitely it might as well be a chase figure because it's pretty hard to find. It's so expensive, I can't afford another one. they gave me two at the grand opening, but I was like, you know, I'd like some more. I went on eBay, and they were like $300. And even, you know, even for myself, I was like, I'm not paying $300 for this. No way. And it, you know, I mean, it's easy for me to say, I already have two of them, but even if I didn't, I don't think I would pay that much for one.
Yeah, because I was looking up the price because I was like, I'm going to get this sign. Yeah, I was like, I'm still not going to own one of those.
Yeah, I mean, don't be that impressed. It's not based on prestige or anything. It's based purely on quantity and the rareness of it. So, but more to come, my friends.
Yes, I cannot wait.
Yeah, me neither.
I do have one last question before we wrap up.
Sure.
When Kevin Smith first called you for the first time, obviously you heard, hi, this is Kevin Smith.
Right.
First thought in your head.
Yeah, I was like, who is this? It sounded like him, but I didn't. Yeah, I was a humble. I was still going to college at the time. I'm like, who? Yeah, it didn't. It was very weird.
Who is so cruel to do this to me?
Right
now.
Exactly. Exactly. And then later on, I had to call back at the office, and Jason Mewes answered. He's like, "Hello." Oh, okay, I was not here right now, and I hung up. And I'm like, that sounded like Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. I was like, that was Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. Like, there's no mistaking it. So it was pretty mind-blowing. Yeah, now Jay's just like the other idiot who has the con table across from me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's not. His star has lost its luster in my eyes, especially since he owes me money. So,
do you see him at every con and just go, where's my money?
Not anymore. I know I'm not getting it back. So, but typically he earns more money at these cons than I do. He can pay me back. So I'll get it back one day.
It's not whether he can, it's whether or not he will.
Pretty much. That's how it is. And you know, no matter if it's at a con, no matter if I have a million podcasts or I'm on TV, like my balls are still gonna get busted just like they were 20 years ago.
Yep.
So I'm very used to it. Yeah, people are like, why don't you fight back? How do you put up with it? I'm like, I've been putting up for 20 years. It's okay. Like,
what's another 60?
Yeah, so what's another 60 or 100? Exactly.
But I do want to thank you for joining us on the
Breakfast
Table.
Of course.
You
guys are great. You guys are great. Congratulations on this is the fourth or fifth episode,
I believe.
This
is the fourth episode.
Congratulations. I hope for 400 more.
We too.
Hopefully.
And with this beautiful space, so I don't see why you have no excuse to not go 400 more.
We'll be here every Sunday.
Fantastic.
So... But the next season of Comic Book Men starts February 25th.
That's correct.
Where everybody can see more of your beautiful face.
That's
on
correct.
There. And until next time, this has been The Breakfast Table.